Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anne, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the ongoing chakra email class. Welcome, Anne.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. So we got to talk with Karen and kind of centered around the first two chakras recently, and so thought it would be fun to kind of continue the journey and interview someone else and see what you're seeing as we go through the email class.
Continue the journey on up the spine, as it were.
On the spine, exactly. Precisely.
Well, I wanted to say a couple of things just in general. First, I think it's just astounding that we have this opportunity that we have on a regular basis to look deeply at a subject matter and with such exquisite writing and deep invitations to look at our process. And for anybody out there listening who hasn't done an email class or has done one but has gotten talked out of doing other ones, I would really just like to give a shout out to say, go for it.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And, you know, because I just realized as you say that it's one of those things where we're so used to it. You know, we get so used to being able to have access to guidance like that and to, as you say, exquisite writing and to be asked to look deeply in that way and to get to read all those responses that we forget how extraordinary it is. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it just feels like such a gift to be delivered that high quality of teaching. I mean, what an astounding thing that we live in an age where we can get to be connected with Sangha. Mm-hmm. You know, through our inbox. And the other thing is there was one person in the class said something about being behind. You know, I'm behind, mm-hmm. and I'm going to butcher it, but Sherry said something about, well, you know, we are where we are. So I think a lot of times, at least this has come up in groups I participated in, people talk about a process they go through about there's a right way to do the email class, and so they're not, they're talked out of doing it because they're not doing it according to ego standards. So I just want to say, that's a process everybody shares, and we don't have to fall for it.
Precisely.
That's my fervorino, Jen.
Thank you. And I'll throw in my 2 cents that I finished reading the responses from the last email class the day after this email class started. So there you go.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that I've had this interesting experience with that just happened with the last email class, and I'm having the same experience with this email class, where the last email class, this particular theme came out. I'm going to butcher it, but it was sex and money, right? Was that the theme of the last one? Anyway,
yes. Mm-hmm.
The overarching message I received from that on a deep level, and, you know, this is kind of like saying the sky is blue, but was that it all boils down to process, you know?
Yeah.
That we get hoodwinked and believing that there's something about this content that means something about me, and it's all process, which was just wonderful
process.
To see on such a deep level. And for this class, I'm having, of course, you know, no surprise, the overarching message so far for me is that it's all about just what? Energy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and what a perfect progression from there. Take it from process to energy. Yeah, exactly.
Because one of the things I've seen, you know, we're talking about the chakras and the energies in the chakra, and at some point in one of Sherry's responses, she was talking about how energy gets stuck in a particular chakra, and then we label it an emotion, which I just thought was a beautiful way to think about it. And what I've been seeing is how ego attempts to come in and manage energy. Right, so that if we think about the chakras as a free-flowing energy coming in, energy going out, and then our pipes get just clogged, as it were. And so one of the things I experienced, I guess this is related to the third chakra, but I don't know, it probably could be related to other ones, it's feeling like, it's related to, in a recent reading we had for group 1 week, it ended with, live as much time as you can in yes and not in no. I don't know if you remember that, but it was about a month ago, and it just hit me like, you know, a ton of bricks, like, wow. And I realized that part of the energy maintenance system that is ego is to attempt to get us to say no to life. So in terms of the will, you know, I can't do this. And I recently had a practice invitation from around to me, and I watched the whole, oh, I'm too busy. Couldn't possibly do that. You know, I don't have the energy. You know, literally. Yeah. And I was like, oh. And yeah. then I realized, oh, okay, then I'm required to say yes to
wow.
see what happens.
Oh, my gosh. That's so huge, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it is huge. Yeah.
Wow.
Because the ego wants to yeah. manage our energy.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'll shut up and let you say something.
No, no, I would much rather have you say it. You said exactly what I was going to say.
Well, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's huge. And I think, you know, a lot of times Jerry talks about how we're not even aware egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate is running our lives, or we're looking
yeah.
to that. And on an
yeah.
energy level, you know, it's constantly, oh, I don't have enough energy. You know, my energy, or I'm too tired, or my whatever. So basically managing the system so that, what would you
yeah.
say, I, the being, is limited, I guess. Is so. Is.
Yes. Wow. It just, I have goosebumps as you're talking, because it is so exactly that. If it can manage our energy, then it can get us to come around to know. And the know even seems right and logical, and it could even
yes.
seem like the thing to, quote, take care of me.
Justified.
But if we, it just justified, exactly, it's justified. But if we have that little thing, you know, that teaching of a change in behavior, so, and the world of opposites, right? So ego comes in to say, no, I can't possibly do that. I don't have enough energy.
Mm-hmm.
It catches your attention, and you
mm-hmm.
say, oh, well, that's my indication that I need to say yes. Then it's like everything starts moving in the other direction, and potentially all the way to the energy starts moving again.
Yes. Yeah, so it just feels, I mean, I guess you could say that, you know, when we're going with no, we're going
mm-hmm.
with the challenge of the chakra, right? We're going with that feeling of, well, you know, since
right.
we're talking about the third chakra, it would be shame, you know, or I can't remember
mm-hmm.
any of them others right now, but so that we end up caught in that, in
right.
that, I don't know, what that negative aspect of the chakra, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you could
mm-hmm.
say.
Yeah.
But it takes, well, I guess, I mean, it's connected to the third chakra. It takes a sense of will, right, to say yes, you know, to say no
right.
to the no, to say no, I'm not going to go with no, I'm going to go with yes.
Right. Wow.
That's a little
crazy. That is.
But that's, so I'm playing with, that's what I'm, this whole classroom, and I think I'm only on the readings for the, I think I just started the third chakra readings. I mean, I'm on the class for the sixth chakra, but I'm on the reading for the third chakra.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and who cares, you know, that's where I am.
Oh, exactly. Well, and you know, and because of the process is the outcome, right? And so when, if we're really practicing with something and all of our attention is with whatever we're practicing with, then we're practicing. And that's what matters, right? It's not even,
yeah.
even with practice, it's not the what. It's that we're in the process of practice.
Well, you know, and what I just saw in that is, of course, there's going to be this campaign for a standard, because then there
right.
can be something wrong. If there's no standard, yeah. how can there be anything wrong?
So
and
good,
it's
isn't
all
it?
The standard is all designed to get us to a place of no, of shutting down our energy, of not expanding
right.
the energy. It's like, the image I'm getting is, you know, there's a fluidity of the energy where I'm merging, well, I don't, you know, the energy in the body is merging with the energy in life, and it's all one flow. But then ego
yeah.
comes in to basically stop the energy flow.
Yep. So ego's busy there creating the dams in the energy system.
Yes.
And
that's
that what we're learning is kind
it.
Of, we're learning the judo. Of, I keep thinking as you're talking, I keep thinking of acceptance, and that's the judo move, and that feels like with each chakra, what's so helpful about talking about the challenge of it is, to me, it engenders so much compassion, because we see, oh, well, no wonder that's what comes up, you know, with looking at the second chakra, or that's what comes up with looking at the third chakra. And so that it's like, no wonder the first impulse is to say no, to take on more things, right? And so then when we can see that and that that's perfectly fine, there's nothing wrong with that, the acceptance of that is like the judo that that allows us to then open and say the yes instead.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say judo, because I think of Tai Chi, you know, it's like flowing with the energy, but maybe it needs that big energy. I think of a karate chop with judo. I don't know why. It's like,
well, actually, you know, you probably know way more about all of those traditions. That might not be the right, the image might not be exactly right, but you know what I meant.
But and I'm just having so much fun with having this experience of a meta message coming through to me, you know, on all of this.
And just
so connected to Sangha with reading the response. In fact, I didn't do this with the last email class. I still have to do it. I still have my papers. But one of the fun things, I just want to share this with people too, one of the fun things I like to do with email classes is as I read through the responses, I underline things that I think would be great peace quotes. And one from the last class that I just loved is, the head is not a good place to live.
Oh, thank you for that.
I just love that. And the one from this class so far that I love, but I have to still, you know, put in my daily peace quotes, is ego makes us want to work really, really hard for that which is our birthright.
Oh, I mean, the concept and the process of that is brilliant. So, in other words, you're going through and you're reading it with an eye towards what would be beautiful peace quotes to pull out, and then I'm guessing you send them in to the
I do. It's kind of my little thing every time we have an email class, because then that way people who aren't taking the email class still get to have the email class, you know, and then anybody who's in the email class, if they might read the peace quote and go, oh, that reminds me of that email class.
Exactly.
Maybe they won't, because, you know, as you know, there's like, what, 150 pages of things?
Right.
It's too much,
well,
man. We can't possibly handle it.
It's also a beautiful way to steward practice, you know, because it's, you're reading through the responses with an eye towards that and then giving it back to Sangha. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I really have fun with it, too, so.
Mm. Well, speaking of fun,
I didn't think I had anything to say, and look at 10 minutes has gone by.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's like turning on the recorder. Well, okay, I have my you know, commitment to record and turn on the recorder and just think, wow, where was all that before I hit record? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so
well, thank you,
thank you to you, Jen, for doing this week in, week out. It's a great, great gift.
Yeah, it's been great to have you on. Thanks, Anne.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good night.
Night.
And Michael, before we turn it over to you and Sherry, I wanted to share one piece of good news, if I may.
Oh, please.
So, as you know, we've just finished up the Bridgewalk season, and the deadline for sending in your final donations has come, and so we have a grand total for you.
Wow.
Which is $114,000 we raised as a Sangha.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? So the goal was, we exceeded the goal. The goal was 108. 108 was going to take us through the whole year, and we raised $114,000 as a Sangha. So I just knew that people would want to hear that good news.
Yes, and you know, of course, I'm doubling that in my head.
Right.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Well done.
All right, Michael. Well, I don't want to take up any more time, so have a great show.
We will. Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Jen, thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Michael.
Okay. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. This is a lot of good stuff happening, huh?
Yeah, it's just compounding, isn't it?
Yes. I was just before Jen made that announcement. You know, people, if there's anybody out there who thinks awareness practice isn't fun, they just need to listen to those two have a conversation about practice, right? And you immediately go to a place of, well, I want to do that. They're clearly having a better time than almost anything else on offer in this life. So it was really great. It was so fun to listen to. And then to get that announcement, wow,
Yes. Big wow.
Yeah.
Big wow, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Good job. Good job, everybody. Good
yes.
job, everybody. And I think before long, Jen is probably, and maybe Ashwini will come on and I don't know when this is going to happen. Maybe it won't happen until the kickoff in January, but we'll find out what the plans are for that money. And there are some incredibly exciting things happening with the community in Cantalumba, especially as a result of the success of this campaign, this Bridgewalk campaign. So that's something to look forward to.
Yes, yes. I will be waiting with bated breath. Is that how it says?
I know you will. You know, one of these days, Michael, we're going to get you there, right?
Oh, to Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been
yeah.
following this with bated breath for many, many years, and to we got to get you there so you can actually look at those people and that you know so well from all the years of following them as they grow up, reading the blogs, and yeah, it's just it's a wonderful experience to I don't know what happens. Well, I guess it's like anything, you know about. You know about London, and then you go there. So you can know
exactly.
everything about all the buildings and the
exactly.
history and everything else, but you go
yeah.
there, and it's a completely different experience. So
yes.
I'm gonna put that in my what's it called, a bucket list or something? Get
bucket
Michael
list.
To Zambia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
Okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right. Yeah.
I have some announcements, unless there's something else. You want to?
No, not for me.
And I'm going to repeat something that Ann and Jen said, and that is that if you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the email class, send it in to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org.
Aha!
Yes, and then it can be shared with Sangha through the Daily Peace Quotes program.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that anybody can do that with any quote that they find that feels in keeping with practice and is inspiring and uplifting and that sort of thing, I would guess.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I've
exactly.
sent in things, and I didn't get them out of the email class. So I think
brilliant.
Yeah, both of those are okay. Good.
Great. And sign up now for a phone guidance appointment on Guidance Day, which is December 19th.
Mm-hmm.
This program provides an opportunity to look at anything about your practice one-on-one with an experienced practitioner.
All right.
And you, Sherry, and Ashwini will offer two fun and enlightening opportunities in the San Francisco Bay Area next month.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, December 12th, you will lead a workshop on the Big Bamboozle in Los Altos, California. And then on Sunday, December 13th, you and Ashwini will appear at the Open Circle Center in Berkeley, California.
That is so.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
Right at my holiday season.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still some slots available in the annual New Year's retreat, which is December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
A not-to-be-missed event.
Yes, and here are a few of the reasons not to miss it, and that is meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, delicious vegetarian food, and free time to spend in nature on the center's spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm. See those trees I keep going on about?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, assists everybody. So I think we're ready, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Sherry. This is Claire.
Oh, hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well.
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to call to check in because I've recently started doing a new vocation. And I want to say that I'm having great success in the realms of turning away from the karma that tells me that I don't succeed at things, in that I'm really enjoying what I'm doing and really supporting myself to feel adequate and able, and to I'm really loving the work that I'm doing. So that's a success.
Excellent. Yeah.
And then the piece that I'd like a bit of guidance with is that another piece of familiar karma for this being is the place of being busy.
Uh-huh.
And so I want to work more at that place because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I noticed that the voice is telling me that, you know, it's all very well and good that, you know, I'm really enjoying and being fulfilled what I'm doing. But then it's the way that I'm doing it that is where the suffering is at the moment.
Okay, the way that you're doing it. Can you say a little about that?
Yeah, so the conversation that I indulge is that, you know, I'm too busy. Maybe I do slow down on occasion when I'm talking to people, but that I'm kind of like often engage anxiety around the amount of work that there is to do and standards around how it should be. And
are you getting any information that says there's any truth in that conversation in your head?
That's a good one. No, not externally, no. No. Everybody else in the program, nobody else in the program is telling me that more needs to be done. So it is a completely an internal job.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there's uh-huh.
I think that I have been looking at this and recording, listening about this, and there is something around. For some reason, in order to be adequate, you know, I need to do more, or you know, there's a piece here around. You know, the reason for the busyness is because of a condition stories behind the busyness.
Okay, so if you have, and you know, this is an every person situation, right? Because this is human stuff. So you have been tortured all of your life with there's too much to do, you're too busy, and I would guess the implication then is you're not keeping up, and therefore there's something wrong. If you're going to be okay, if things are going to be the way they need to be, you need to be doing more, be more whatever. Is that it?
That's the life torture. In order to somehow make this person right or sufficient or something, I have to kind of keep running on this treadmill of busyness.
Uh huh. Even though nobody else is saying that.
Even though nobody else is saying that.
Yeah. Now, always before, you kind of believed it, right? I mean, you didn't really question it.
It was only in the recent time frame that I've looked at this and said, you know, this is crazy. This is not about me. This is something else trying to zap my life energy.
Yes. Yes. There you go. That is exactly what I would tell you. So, you know, it seems to me like, do you trust and like the people that you're working with?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So you could say, to somebody, say if you have a supervisor, a boss, or whatever, whoever is in charge, you know, you could say, I have this constant pressure that I'm not doing enough, that I should be doing more. It's always been there. It didn't start with this job. It's just always been there in spite of everything. It's just a story that runs in my head, and I'm trying to put an end to it. So can I trust you to let me know if there's something you want me to do differently? I'll bet you anything that person is going to say, yes, I will let you know, right?
Yep.
And at that point, you can safely put that conversation down once and for all, because you know that it doesn't actually have any helpful information for you.
Right.
Because
right.
The people in charge of your job are not saying it to you. Therefore, it's not valid what they're saying.
Yeah.
Is that so?
But yeah, that's so helpful, because part of what I need to do is I need to set periodic goals, and we're in the phase now of like setting goals, and I wanted to set a goal around like looking at this busyness and not indulging it. So this is the perfect thing that I could do as part of that goal, is to have that conversation and say, hey, you know. And then and it's fascinating, because I know this, like when we talk about this, there's a whoosh of like anxiety in the body around like it's conditioning, kind of scrambling around, oh my goodness, so that's good.
That's right. And that's exactly what's happening. So all your life, or I guess all your adult life, maybe all your life, I don't know, that conversation has been able to control your life force.
Mm-hmm.
It's been able to control your energy, right? So the conversation would start up, and basically you can just, you know, it just jerks your strings, and you just start hopping around and giving it energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You feel bad, you feel anxious, you feel, you know, afraid or worried or that sort of thing. So you're given lots of energy to that system, right? There you are. If you think of it as an illicit relationship, right? So you've got this secret lover that you're giving all this energy to, right? And so when that voice starts in, it's like there, you have to turn to that relationship and give all your energy to that voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that voice is pretty happy, right? Because anytime it wants a little jolt of your life force, it just says inadequate, too busy, mm-hmm. not keeping up, right? And you go, oh, and you give it a big old jolt of energy, right? And so now you've been working at this and practicing long enough that you know that, that's what's happening.
Right.
Right?
And
so
I want to get out of it, and I want to get out of
that's
it.
That's right. It's an abusive relationship, and you want to end it, right? And so, of course, that system doesn't want you to end the relationship, and so it's just going to work overtime to get you to continue to give it energy.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the story. Here's the deal. The way that that system succeeds with people is that, so you're going along, you're practicing, and it says, you're not keeping up. You're not doing a good job. You're not whatever it is. And you react to it. And it says, see, you still like me best, right? And we fall for it. We say, oh, yeah, okay. So if we think of it as something like you're going to quit smoking, okay, smoking cigarettes, you've smoked cigarettes for the last 30 years, and now you're going to quit. And, of course, that's such a perfect example of what we're up against with chronic conditioning, because those voices are not going to say, oh, Claire, this is so great. We've been wondering when you were going to make this decision. This will be good for your health. It'll be good for your finances. People will enjoy being around you. Oh, this is wonderful. No. It's going to say, have a cigarette.
Mm. You know you want one. You know you want one.
You know you want one. Just one. Just one.
Yeah.
Just one.
You can't,
right?
You can't really get by without this. You can't really, you know, just one.
That's right. That's right. And it's just there. It's just there constantly. And so after a while, for anybody who's quit a habit like that, you give in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it, and then it's just rubbing its little imaginary hands together because it knows it's still got you. But what we can bring to that is, okay, you got that round. But all you've done is make me more determined than ever to win this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the attitude of mind that you bring to it. So every time it gets you, you know, you've got recording and listening. Every time it gets you, you make another recording about how ego whining and complaining and telling you these same old stories are, it's just a way to try to keep control of your energy. You don't believe it. It's not true. And you just stick with that, stick with it, stick with it, stick with it until it loses steam and you're clearly in charge of your life. And it'll happen.
And it's also going to be helpful for me to be transparent about this with my supervisor, because there's something about me being able to take on that with his support. You know, knowing because I can just like keep working at relaxing and doing what I need to do, knowing that if that's not good enough, she will let me know.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you can do that in every aspect of your life. Right? Because if it starts in at home, you can say, you know, I'm trying to get out from under the oppression of this too much to do, too busy. And so if I'm really letting anybody down, would you tell me?
Yes.
You know, people are going to go, yeah. And then you can trust them.
Right.
But I think that's really important, because as long as it's a secret, right, it's just you and that voice, right? But the more you out that voice, the less power it's going to have over you.
Right. This is definitely the way to go, because I hear, you know, a voice saying to me now, but, you know, you should be able to do this by yourself, kind of. You know, that's going to be a failure to talk about this openly with your supervisor and, you know, put it into her to let you know if you're not doing good enough. Because that voice wants to have the power. That voice wants to be telling me the time that I'm not doing good enough. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Puts it out of a job.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. It, you know, when we really listen to those voices at that level, it is so obvious they hate us. You know, you should be able to do this on your own. Would anybody who cares about you say that? Anybody who cares about you is going to say, God, get all the help you can get. You know, we want this to work for you. What do you need? What can we do? We're here. We'll support you. But that voice, you should be able to do this on your own. That's going to be a failure. If you need help with this, then that's a failure. Yeah, okay, well, call me a failure. I'm getting help to get rid of you.
Excellent.
But,
okay, again, this has been most helpful.
Yeah, well, posted, huh?
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful.
Oh, good. All right. Well, let us know how it goes, huh?
Well, thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Claire. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Janice in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Janice. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, not too much. I guess what I was looking at recently was, I'm noticing I don't know, it's like the voices come in and it's like I get, oh, I've seen that before. But it occurred to me lately that to some extent it seems like I believe them. So previously I would have thought that I'm like partially identified, but it's clearer to me to think of it as whether or not I believe them or not. And The reason I think I might partially believe them is because, because I'm kind of, I'm not, you know, I see them for what they are, but I'm feeling kind of bad.
Uh-huh. So if I'm understanding you, so I've seen that implies that's not affecting me, right? But yeah, I know that. Yeah, I've seen that. I know what that is. But what you're realizing is that could be part of enabling that system to keep influencing you with this same information because you say, well, I've seen that. And so that doesn't, I don't really need to give that any attention. But it's working on you underneath conscious awareness.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess to an extent, it's just keeping the attention on that still.
Yes. 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 I was just talking with a group of people about that yesterday. As a matter of fact, I think it was yesterday. It doesn't, so can you give one of the stories that you've seen, just something so I can...
Yeah, let me think. So a thought will come in that it's very much like what the previous caller was talking about, traps me all the time. But so something will come up where, you know, I'm not getting enough done, and therefore I need to try harder. Is that
mm-hmm.
too vague? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it comes in,
and
perfect.
Then so the action that I should take comes in, and it's like, oh, you know, I've suffered from that. I've seen that over and over, and I've suffered from all of a sudden, like, trying harder, you know. So I've seen that before, and it's like, there's my example.
Yeah. And so what happens is then you do react to it, right? I mean, you, again, this is universal. So but in this case, you do react to it. So that message comes in, you're not getting enough done, you should try harder. And it's like an arrow lands in our energy system, right? Because you're very conditioned to react to that. So
it's like a
it
what?
Lands,
I missed the word. It's like a what?
An arrow.
An arrow,
you know,
okay.
Yeah, an arrow strikes you. Because when we're really present to it, we can feel the jolt kind of adrenaline that comes with that kind of message, right? I mean, it's not going to knock you off your feet, but you can feel that it hit, it landed. It's a hot button, right? So it could say, you know, you haven't taken your 3 naps today, and you'd start laughing, right? Because right? Said, come on, you've got the wrong person. That must be somebody down the road you're looking for.
Exactly.
So it says that, and the system reacts to it, and then the system comes in right behind it to say, oh, I've seen that. You know, that, yeah, I don't believe that. That's just an old story. And then, that's one kind of karmic story, but it's one of many. And they just cycle around. So it doesn't really matter whether you're locked in one that's going to drain all of the energy out of your body at once. As long as there are enough of these slow leaks, the same thing is happening. And the reason that I point to that is that you've indicated that you can feel it in your energy system. So there's nothing big. There's nothing really wrong. You know, there's no calamity or emergency, and yet there's this low-level whatever it is. You know, you're not lit up. You're not excited. You're not really animated by life.
You're not living in inspiration or creativity.
That's right. So that energy is going somewhere. So when I was talking with this group of people the other day, what we were talking about is the fact that we can be lit up over anything. And what this particular group is doing is a specific thing. And it has the potential to really light people up. And so what people are watching is how they're not allowed to do it, because if they did it, they would be lit up. And so in order to be convinced not to do it, the energy has to be damped down, right? So if they got excited about doing this, then they would be living in inspiration, and the system would lose control of their energy. So the energy about this particular thing, and it could be anything in somebody's life. This is just what we're looking at. So the energy is damped down here, but in order for energy to be damped down here, it has to be damped down everywhere. So over time, a person realizes, wow, I'm really not living in inspiration. You know, I'm a little depressed. And it's not that there's anything specific going on. It's that the person's energy is being controlled against anything that's going to take them out of that control. So it could be that somebody, gets a job offer on the other coast, or, you know, somewhere far away, another country. And there's a tremendous rush of excitement with the possibility. But, you know, that system can't just allow us to just get wildly enthusiastic about life. It's really dangerous. So the reaction to that, the yes to no, is going to start rather quickly, right? Now, if a person persists in this idea, and they persist in being excited and lit up and enthusiastic and that sort of thing, if that energy is going to be controlled, then it has to shut them down in every area of their lives. So suddenly they realize, geez, I'm not really into this relationship with my partner. You know, I'm really, I've lost patience with the kids. I'm not excited about the holidays. I'm not, you know, whatever it is that they would ordinarily be excited about, they're not, because it's that across the board shutting the energy down so that it can be controlled. Now, when the person gets over their enthusiasm, okay, they've made the decision, no, I'm not going to go, that doesn't work, it's crazy, I don't even speak the language, or whatever is going on, then they can go back to their normal level of, well, life is okay, it's all right, you know, this relationship is fine, and my kids are as good as any other kids, and are you with me?
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. So the main point of it is that I would ask you to be looking at with this is that it doesn't have to be anything big. It can be a whole lot of, which is what you indicated originally, it can be a whole lot of, well, there's this. What about that? Boom. I've seen that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Jolt. Yeah, well, I know, I've looked at that. And that back and forth is managing the energy.
Yeah.
Subtle stuff. Subtle stuff, but I bet you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. What keeps coming up, which is always conditioning, isn't it? It's like, well, what do I do about that?
That's right.
Kind of just look at it.
Actually, you know, what I'm constantly encouraging people to do is to pick something and say yes to it. Because that's what's going to, so earlier today, again, I was talking with some folks and saying that people are concerned, I don't have any passion. You know, what am I passion? Where's my passion? What's my purpose in life. I need a purpose in life so that I can have passion. Well, we can have passion about anything if we're present.
Yeah.
And if
my thing is I've picked 10 different things that I'm passionate about, you know.
It doesn't matter.
I wasn't trying to make that a problem, so I just do.
Right. It doesn't matter. Because you can, if you don't get caught in the conversation and conditioned mind, you can be absolutely passionate about 10 things. And if you leave it to life to orchestrate how those things happen, there will be room for all of them if that is an authentic orientation to life. If it's a conditioned, I just like to go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing, and I never really focus on anything, and I'm just scattered, and I'm just here, and okay, that's being jerked around by conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I'm not clear
in my case which it is, but yeah.
Well, I would say by the level of lack of enthusiasm, it's choice B. Yeah, there are people who have many, many, as we say, irons in the fire, and they find the whole thing just energizing, exciting, thrilling.
No, actually, I find it all of them energizing and exciting. I think it's just like you were describing, the low-level energy taking from ego, you know, just the broad low-level. And it occurred to me that my missing element was like noticing the conversation, you know, seeing it for what it is,
yes,
not believing it, but then turning my attention to what I wanted. Like the missing element might be turning my attention to what I want instead of staying, you know, just noticing the conversation.
Yes, and so with that, if the conversation, you're noticing a conversation, and then you hear a voice come in that says, "Well, I've seen that." Or, yeah, I know that. Stop right there, because that's the place to intervene. So with recording and listening, that would be a perfect time to pick up the recorder and say, the conversation is what I've seen about that is what is true is that I want my attention focused on and not to be distracted by and you lay out the whole process.
Yeah.
Right? So it goes from being this kind of background music that is distracting but not enough to really capture your attention. You're bringing it into conscious awareness and dealing with it directly, which is not something ego really enjoys.
Yes, that's very clear. That's exactly what it is. That conversation is keeping it in the background and the low level of energy going away. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm so glad I got on. Yay. I've been trying
Me
for
too.
A while.
This is great.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You'll let me know, I know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Janice.
Thanks. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. That was a fascinating conversation, Sherry, and I could really relate to those slow energy leaks from conditioning.
Yeah. It's amazing how it changes, how the process changes as we become more aware. You know, again, we can all go back to a time in our lives where, well, for me anyway, I go back to totally unconscious and just out there in karma land, you know, just crashing around and then starting to come to a little bit. And as I came to more and more, that system got more subtle. Right? Because if it had just been doing the same things that worked when I was completely unconscious, I would have seen it. Right? And so it just, you know, as we wake up more, the lights come on more in us. It's like the lights are dimming in that system, which is great, right? But the fact that the lights are dimming in that system doesn't mean it's not there doing what it's doing. It just means we have to look more carefully to see it. And I don't mean by that we want to be giving it all of our attention. I'm not saying that. It's that we, it's kind of like, you know, if you're out at night in a kind of a strange city and your car is parked wherever it is, and you're going to walk there in the dark, if you let your imagination go to all of the hideous things that could happen between where you are and getting to your car, you'd be paralyzed, right? Or you'd have to call for a police escort, right? So there's somewhere between that and just being completely oblivious to everything around. So it's a matter of senses. Awareness is on hyper alert, and attention is on awareness. And then we are whatever you would say. You know, we're in the best position that we can be in at that point. It doesn't mean somebody's not going to jump out and grab us, but if they do, we've got as much going for us as it's possible to have under those circumstances. So I never want it to sound like what I'm saying is we need to go through life just watching what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing. We don't. But we never want to go to sleep to the fact that it's there.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And what's been so helpful for me is that constant listening all day long. And I notice it especially at work. And it's just so helpful because whenever there's a moment, you know, the attention turns to the recording and it's like, oh, yeah, take a breath, or oh, yeah, peace, or you know, and if there's moments and opportunities for that information to come in, and then all the conditioned leaks are just sealed up in that moment.
That's exactly right. And it is just like that. You know, we can't seal them up once and for all, because as soon as we turn attention away, those leaks open back up again, right? And so it's a constant presence. I mean, that's just it. And there's so much conditioning that says, get somewhere so you can rest. You know, are you going to have to do this forever, for God's sake? And the answer is, yeah. We want to be that awake and alert and present all the time, because that's where the joy is.
Amen, sister.
Yep. All right.
Yep. Okay, let's hear from our coaches program, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
This year's theme is training to live in this here now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karina from Sonora.
Oh, hello.
Hi
there.
I'm doing well. I'm excited I got on.
Yeah. Tell me what's going on.
Well, you know, I have this topic that I want to bring up because I've just found that after many years of doing a lot of different types of practice around it, that it still causes me quite a bit of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would love to hear your guidance on this.
Okay.
And it's around my fear of death.
Mm.
And, you know, I would like to believe that reincarnation happens. You know, I have faith in that. But I believe it's probably the voices and conditioning that creep up a lot for me, and, you know, tell me, no, this is it. You're going to die, and it's going to just, you're not, nothing's going to happen beyond this lifetime. And, you know, through my work and through my practice, I've really tried to turn that around and see it as a gift, really, you know, that because I have this consciousness around death, that I'm really able to have so much appreciation for this life, and really just trying to live a life every day that is ending suffering. And, you know, but even with recording and listening and, you know, journaling and doing other kinds of, you know, interventions around this, it's still, I would say after probably a good 10 years now, causes me so much suffering. And I'm just, you know, not quite sure where to go with this, you know.
Well, there are a couple of things. One is, what is the problem with nothing going on after this lifetime?
What if the problem was nothing going on after this lifetime?
Yeah. In other words, if you, this is probably dangerous, but I'll trust you. We go to sleep every night, and we know nothing, right? I mean, we're gone. We're, for all intents and purposes, for all we know, we're dead.
Right.
And then we wake up the next morning. And during that time that we weren't there, and there really wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's almost like I'm grieving what's going to happen. You know, which,
yeah.
So, like, even to hear myself say that is so goes against my practice of being in this here now. And I, when I do start to go there, and I start to feel what it might be like to be in that infinity of darkness, for lack of a better way of looking at or saying it, but I turn my attention to right here, right now, you know, rather than my thoughts going to death, I just try to focus on, okay, but what am I doing right here in front of me, you know? And,
yeah.
But, it,
well,
it just,
may I ask you about that?
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are two things about it that are interesting to me. One is the assumption that it's dark,
mm-hmm.
and two, that you would know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just the uncertainty of not knowing, you know, and there's a lot of light and hope around that there is something beyond this life, and I do have faith in that.
Well, here's the thing. Since you're a practitioner, you know when you're, say you're just sitting somewhere, and I don't mean you're sitting in meditation necessarily, but you're just sitting somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and you're relaxed and you're comfortable, and there's really nothing going on,
mm-hmm.
And you slip into that space between thoughts.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, and
mm-hmm.
and there's no you.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's just consciousness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no you, and then you have to think something in order for you to be real again, because
yes.
in that little space, you could be anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Did I just go too far out there?
No, and I definitely have had that experience, and you know, I'm jumping to relating that to death. You know, that death might just be that.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that, because I don't know, right? And nobody
mm-hmm.
knows, and you know, people make up stuff, but we don't know. We'll find out probably, or we won't.
mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, that, and we'll talk about it this way because this is what we do, and so this is how we talk about it. That consciousness, as far as we know, has always existed. And people are born into that consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. It's a state that we all share. We're, you know, when we talk about whole mind, it's not hard to have a strong sense of that, that we're all living in one consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
True?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think it's what you said about we don't know. None of us know, and that for some reason it's that piece that causes my suffering, because I can have a theory, I can have a belief around this, but ultimately it's that we don't know that causes my suffering.
I'll tell you, no, that's not what causes you to suffer. What causes you to suffer is that you're tortured by that.
Yeah, I am.
And it is a system torturing you with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
I do. And it's like I just want to know how to combat that, you know, and I feel like...
I can tell you that. So there are two phases to this. One is the experience that we have as practitioners of awareness, where it's an experiential slipping into that consciousness and realizing, not in any way that anybody could, you know, I'm not going to argue with anybody about this. It's each one having his or her direct experience of the eternal nature of that consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the peace and the comfort that comes with that, that it was there before we were born and it'll be there after we are gone. It is always what is there. So form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. So from that emptiness, form, from form, emptiness. Okay. So that is our practice and it's there for us for a reason. Because it does take us beyond the limitations and fears of ego. Okay, so that's one piece of it. The second piece of it, which is much more practical, is that you're going to be required to do what everybody is required to do. And it's just that the content of this, as with everybody, so that system tortures people with the content that they will be tortured by. So it doesn't sound like smoking cigarettes would do it for you. So if you started hearing a voice in your head that says,
yeah, the voice cigarettes. Knows what gets me for sure. Yes.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So again, I find comfort in that, right? That we're all in the exact same process, though the content is so different. So with somebody, it's being tortured over you're inadequate, you're not doing enough, you're too busy, there's too, you know. With somebody else, it's tortured over, you know, food or drinking or drugs or relationship or whatever the heck, money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So whatever hot button it can put its imaginary little thumb on, it's going to do that and torture us with it. So realizing that is completely separate from coming to a place of peace about your death.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're linked for you, that system will be able to torture you about that.
Oh, that is exactly what I needed to hear. Yes, absolutely, that it is separate from my having peace with my death, that torture is separate.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So I guess, you know, the part about the peace, having peace with my death, you know, and what I've come to through practice is that is, it's a process that I might not have peace in these 10 years, you know, and that it's, for me, just sitting with not having peace right now, you know, and that you know, it's like sitting with sadness or depression or, you know, fear or any of that. It's just a part of the process. We're always going to have those feelings, and they do cause suffering at times in our lives, you know. And so I think for me, it's just being okay with, I'm not at peace right now, and maybe someday I will, but in the meantime, I'm just going to sit with this discomfort, you know?
Yes. Well, yes, good approach, and I have an and for you, okay?
Okay. Okay, I like your ands.
Okay. So, yes, it's a process. And mm-hmm. what you were looking at 10 years ago when you started practicing, you don't have to look at that in the same way, because you've moved through different levels, layers of understanding and mm-hmm. Awareness and that sort of thing, right? And so here's the question that I would ask you. Do you have an experience of life being kind?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Most days,
do you,
yes.
Okay. Do you feel cared for by life?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That there's a sense in you that the intelligence that animates you is on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Wants mm-hmm. the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
for sure.
So just to go to that place, and then not to answer it, but just let the question be there. Why should that ever change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why should that ever change?
Even beyond death,
is that what you're saying?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Before
mm-hmm.
this life, in other words, you have no experience of not being in consciousness and not being cared for.
Mm-hmm.
You can't remember a time when you weren't.
Yeah.
Why would we assume that would change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, these are such good things to be able to look at and ask, for sure. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Let's keep this conversation going, okay? It's a good one.
Oh, I'm glad. I did have, the voices were telling me that this wasn't a good topic. So thank you for that.
Once again, we know they lie,
yes,
and we cannot
sure.
trust them. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Karina. And that was a great conversation, Sherry.
Yeah. Don't you just love practice? I mean, just
I do.
So,
I do.
You know, as a sangha, when we all get together, I mean, there's just nothing that we're not going to have a chance to look at. But somebody's bringing everything to the party, right? It's the biggest of all possible spiritual potlucks.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And to me, it takes us all back to where we started today with Anne and the good news, and that is that we are so privileged to have this practice that is so exquisite and fabulous, and the email class and the beauty and the poetry and the skill. It's just, to me, it's a great reminder to remember that and not mm-hmm. take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. It is a smile, God loves you moment, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have we reached the end of our hour, Michael?
Well, we're about 1 minute away, which to me is pretty close.
That just about qualifies, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I very much appreciate it. I look forward to talking with you next week.
Me too. We'll talk to you
later. All right. Thanks. Good night.
Thanks, Sherry. Good night.